SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour two. Reaching for Johnny D, get his weekend perspective. And, of course, the biggest question on everyone's mind, it's not can Justify win the Triple Crown. It's are Gale's shoes, did they make it through the muddy weekend? Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, and the news is good. We were able to get her through such terrible conditions, but it took some effort on my part. And the weather cooperated because when we arrived, it was not raining, which was amazing. For 4 days, it was hard to find a time when it was not raining. I think the only time was when Justify went out to the track on Thursday morning. It stopped raining so he could complete his tour of the racetrack. And then I think again when we arrived at the Preakness on Saturday, so the shoe survived. We made it in, we made it out, and we didn't go anyplace else. We didn't move. We got to our spot and we stayed inside the whole day.
Which you can understand. It was not a conducive ambient circumstance to go visit people and, you know, go back and forth across to the infield and that kind of thing. That's somewhat what we did too, Tina and I, and it did make it, you know, if you're the type that circulates at the track, which I am, and it was unusual in that regard.
Correct. And especially if you're going to venture to the infield, several people in our group, of course, the Express Bet. We have our select players there. We have a wonderful event every year. And it's always great fun. and some of those folks were making their way over to the infield for various other tents, groups that had tents over there. And, of course, the Stronach group had a tent there. But they came back. Not just shoes muddy, cuffs of pant legs were soaked in muddy. So it was a commitment to make a move. But again, I think, you know, and I really felt bad for the folks at Pimlico, because not just the people that work at MJC, also obviously, you know, I'm a member of the Stronach group. So obviously, you know, the weather affects what happens on the day, but the folks in Baltimore, they go out of their way to really do the best they can. The folks at MJC, I've known many of them for 20 years and more, and they always go out of their way to be nice, to have this a special event, and they do such a great job. And to have this kind of rain that was unrelenting for 4 days or five, even longer, before I got there, it was raining. And to have them struggle through it with an edifice that, look, let's face it, you know, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. There's been enough chat about whether the Preakness stays at Pimlico or not. But to rev up that engine and get it cranked up to host all these people year after year, 140,000, I believe, most of them in the infield, enjoying a different kind of Preakness afternoon. But still, to echo your sentiment from earlier, I think look, as you say, you're going to get emails, you're going to get tweets, and you're going to see things plus and minus. But I have to say, from my experience, I think they, everyone was doing the best they could, and I think they did a good job. I really do. There were some lines. There were some people waiting to cross the racetrack on the, you know, and even bringing those things out, those walkways across the turf course, across the main track. There's that one incredible photo that's been making its way around on Twitter from Barbara Livingston of Justify leaping. I think he was leaping one of those marks where the walkway goes back and forth. But, you know, just to do that every race, and you could see where the turf course was getting chewed up. But what can you do? It was, what'd you say, it was 7 inches of rain?
7 inches.
I mean, yeah, to work with that kind of a handicap. You know, if it rains in baseball, they call off the game.
Yeah.
And they did call off a game in Baltimore. The Phillies were playing in Baltimore, I think it was a Tuesday-Wednesday
right.
series, a rare two-day series. And they canceled the Tuesday game. And someone said to me, well, why didn't they play a doubleheader on Wednesday? I said, because they were going to be lucky to get one game in on Wednesday. They got it in. But the rain just continued day after day. And Sunday was nice, though.
Exactly. The cruel irony on that front. Johnny, talk about the feature and the rest of it. You know, the rest of it has got certain things to cover, but nothing's going to be more important than understanding what transpired out there. And of course, you know, you have to really watch several times through the, and thank goodness for the drone camera work from NBC that enabled us to, you know, get most of the race. The one portion that is completely obscured is, you know, the top of the stretch to mid stretch. But you know, I tried to convey from my personal view what a throwdown this was, and I know that Ortiz is blaming himself, and Chad acknowledged that wasn't what they had in mind, but a lot of people rightly saying, at least by doing what they did with good magic, you gave yourself the only chance you had to win. If you had taken back, and if Justify controls the pace up front, he gallops. I mean, that's obvious. So, in a good magic, under the circumstance, was it exactly what they had hoped to do? No. But the result is we got what I think later on might be viewed as a Sunday silence, easy goer type of a confrontation.
Well, you know, Jose's beating himself up. Chad's was kind of upset after the race. Maybe not upset, but disappointed is, I think, is the word he used in the trip that they had. And I tend to agree with you. When your horse breaks well and you're on the inside and the horse to beat is outside, you really, if your horse breaks well, you can't then, well, you can, but it's not advisable to then take back and what? Get behind, go around the horse you have to beat, who you just stalked and tried and couldn't get by in the last race. What makes you think that stalking, trying to get by him in this race was going to be any different? I agree. The best chance to win was what happened. And okay, you could say, well, we didn't want to be in that position. I understand that. But once your horse breaks well, you have no other choice as a rider, no other viable choice, in my opinion, except to go. Excuse me. And he took the battle to Justify. And, you know, you can't say that there weren't points during the running of the race, from the little you may have seen, that you thought to yourself live, this is not good for Justify. This is good Magic is taking the fight to him. And at some point, he looked like he might have been gaining an advantage. So I don't think it was that drastic. It may not have been where you wanted to be, and I don't really understand where you would have wanted to be. Taking back off of Justify was, I don't see any evidence that was going to work. It may have gotten good Magic second. That's a real possibility instead of fourth. But as far as winning the race, I think this was the best chance to win the race. And I don't apologize for Jose Ortiz's ride. And I think Chad, a little disappointed in what happened and things didn't go your way. But you know what? You weren't going to beat that horse sitting back. There's no evidence of that. Anyway, that's the way I viewed it. So what did happen?
Agree.
Well, good Magic went with Justify and on just he couldn't outrun him hooking him. So now it's very clear that at this point Justify is a better horse than good Magic. We can say that. That is known. That's a known. as was made famous a few years ago. That's a known. So the race itself, how I look at it, what happened was it was kind of like you're in a 15-round heavyweight title fight, and they don't even have those anymore. But you're in a 15-round heavyweight title fight, and you're going to fight one guy for 12 rounds, and then we're going to bring in another guy for the last three rounds. You got to fight him. A fresh guy who hasn't fought yet. We're going to bring him in and let you fight him for the last three rounds to see if you're really the champ. And I think that's kind of what happened. Good Magic hooking up with Bravazo, making him run. I mean, with Justify, making him run the entire race. No breathers. And fractions, they were legitimate fractions. But they're even more legitimate when someone is breathing down your neck. We all know that. All handicappers know that. That if you go in 47, like they did almost 47-1, and someone is breathing down your neck, it's much quicker in reality. Someone would say, well, 47 is 47. It's not. Ask anyone in competition. When you are being hooked by someone else who is a top quality competitor, it's pressure. You're forced to go a little stronger than you want to go. You're putting out a little more, you're spending a bit more energy than you want to. And it's a dogfight. And good Magic didn't give any ground. Let's give him credit. He didn't give any ground till late. Then you've got Bravazo charging late, and it appeared, Justify won by a half a length. It appears as if Bravazo is going to go by Justify if the race is another 25, 30 yards. It seems like he's going to go by him. I don't know about that. And this is what irks me about stewards when they say something didn't affect the order of finish. You don't know. Don't tell me you know, because you don't know the order of finish. I don't know if Bravazo would have gone by Justify. It looked like he was getting to him. It looked like he had his steam, and he was going to go by him. But Mike Smith was confident he'd made it to the wire. These Hall of Fame guys, he didn't want to suck the lemon dry, squeeze the lemon dry. He got there. I don't know how Justify will react, would have reacted if Bravazo had come up alongside. He might have rebroke again. This horse has done things that no other horse has done, or no other horse has done in a very, very, very long time. No other humans alive have seen another horse do what this horse has done. I don't know how he would have reacted.
Well put.
Vaso was full head of steam, came at him, but I don't know.
I am 100% in agreement on this, and the declarations that they hadn't come back to the cupola. They hadn't. The painter hadn't, you know, hadn't whitewashed the, you know, the the weather vane yet, and the declarations were, oh, can't win. Oh, can't win the Belmont. Not off of that effort. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's
it is unbelievable.
The fact that
it really is,
that
right?
People wouldn't, the fact that people won't acknowledge that the horse has already just defied logic to this point. And yes, at some point, there's, in fact, there's a terrific piece. Chuck Simon sent me a link to an Alan Jerkins Onion Secretariat piece from about the Whitney, and Secretariat being, you know, being tired by the time the Whitney rolled around, and Chief noticing that during a workout, and that's why he ran Onion, and yeah, there's going to be at some point to have a horse perform like this in such a short period of time, there's going to be an effect at some point. But the way that racetrack was and the way that racetrack is, and I wanted to bring up, I thought Mike Smith's comments about the turns was absolutely the thing to key on. If you're of a mind to defend the performance, why the performance needs defending is a whole nother issue as to the modern race observer. But that to me is where it all is all key. And I was asked on, I did a recap on SiriusXM on Mad Dog Sports on Saturday night, and Scott Wenzel asked, you know, can he win the Triple Crown? And I said, well, the smart thing to do is bet against, but don't put it past him.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you are a racing fan and you are not reveling in what you've seen so far, if you are not immersing yourself in the talent, the beauty, the strength, the magnificence of this animal, if you have not seated yourself in amazement at what this horse has done and no other horse has been able to do, to go from February and win the Kentucky Derby, make your first start in February, win the Kentucky Derby, win the Preakness Stakes, both over off tracks, and only having raced, you know, a few times in your career, to witness what you are witnessing. If you are a racing fan, you have to genuflect a bit in front of this horse. I mean, look, any horse, if history has taught us anything, it's that any horse can be beaten. And maybe that's going to happen in the Belmont Stakes. Maybe not. I'm not ready to seal the deal. There are some very good horses and some fine distance horses who will handle the mile and a half very well on the sidelines. And there are a couple of them coming out of the Preakness. So, yes, it was going to be an uphill battle. But you have to take a moment. And we've got 3 weeks now. Let's take this Monday after the Preakness to honor all things that are justified. I mean, if you've taken a good look at this horse, if you've gone and gotten close to him and seen his frame, his magnificence, and wondered, how does he get all that bulk moving so fast, so quickly? I mean, he leaves the gate and he's going. You would think a horse of that size would, with a stride, he's got a tremendous stride on him. You would think it would take him, you know, 20, 30 yards to get moving a little bit. But he goes right to it. He pops the gate. He comes out straight, and he's in that cruising speed. And, you know, Baffert had a great watching the replay of the broadcast of the Preakness, and Baffert said, I hope I'm phrasing this right. Good horses have speed. Great horses have more speed. And that's what it is, what it comes down to. You know, people say, oh, racing's so complicated and it's hard to get new fans because it's very complicated. This is the simplest, the most basic of all sports there are. And it starts in the schoolyard when you say to your buddy, I bet I can beat you to that fence over there. That's what we're doing. And who's faster, you or your buddy? And that's who's going to win. So it really, if you break it down, and good horses have speed, great horses have more speed. So what Justified does to his competition, what American Pharoah did to his competition, is they go fast, and then when you come to them, they don't really speed up, but they go faster than you're going. You know, they keep that speed going. And that's why if you're good magic and you take back off of him, you're not going to catch him. There's no way you're going to catch him. And who else was going to do the dirty work? Quip, I have to watch the race a few more times, but, you know, on the inside, he was forced. His hand was forced. He had to go, and he was not a factor in the race at all. I thought maybe Diamond King might show some speed. He didn't. He was nowhere. Look, Justify's a quick horse. He was not going to be, in my opinion, in my analysis, if he wanted to go to the front, Mike could take him to the front. If he wanted to take him back, he could sit off of one or two speed horses if that's the way it developed. He's just a very good horse. Revel. If you're a racing fan, if you're a young racing fan particularly, if you're an older racing fan, I have to believe that you understand what you're seeing. If you are a young racing fan, and by young I mean 30, 40, you know, revel in what you're seeing. And you've been very fortunate because you've seen American Pharoah. You've seen Arrogate. You've now seen Justify. This is a special, special racehorse. And, you know, there are two people who've commented on this extensively in the weeks leading up to the Derby, after the Derby, particularly this Preakness week. Bob Baffert has said over and over again how fortunate he is to get these horses. True. Dwayne Lucas, I loved his comment of he's sitting down at the end of the shed row at the Preakness looking at his two horses thinking, oh, yeah, they're all dappled out and they're looking great. And he said, and Baffert gets off the van and brings this animal around the corner. And I look at him and I'm like, how are we supposed to beat this beast? You know, and, you know, sometimes it just comes down to who is the fastest, the biggest, the strongest, the best. It's a race. Sometimes the fastest horse really does win.
Well, we'll turn our attention, obviously, early next week in particular. We'll have probably Baffert and Jimmy Barnes speculating that he won't return to the track again until, I think, Wednesday. But yesterday he looked, you know, he looked absolutely fine. He looked bright and alert, and you saw the video of him going back. It isn't always the immediate aftermath that you get concerned when it comes to, you know, horses' readiness for Belmont. It's that third week that a lot of times we'll get to the Saturday before the Belmont and you'll hear the horsemen say, I wish we were running today. Yeah, that one always unnerves me, to be honest. That's a line I don't want to hear.
It's funny going into Belmont. Well, look, let's backtrack one step here. Going into the Preakness, mostly everyone justified overwhelming choice, most people. And whenever there's an overwhelming choice, if you're a gambler, any kind of a gambler, if there's an overwhelming choice, your eyes should light up. And you should find a way to go against that overwhelming choice. Because that's where the money is. That's where the profit is. If you find an overwhelming choice, like Justify was heading into the Preakness, you have to immediately find a way to go against them. So what do? You look at the facts. You handicap the race. You look at the track condition. You look at the post position draw. You look at how the race is going to develop. You look at speed figures and everything else you want to look at. And you come to a decision that, no, I can't go against him. There's no real reason except price to go against him. And price itself is not the motivator. You then, per our discussions and others on your show, you then look for how to make value in the race, how to create value. And the value was in the exacta, came back again, another healthy exacta, trifecta, superfecta. You had to go for those kinds of wagers. And as we discussed last week and you suggested all along, go ahead and punch those wagers. It's a bit unnerving if you're not used to it, but go ahead and try it because that's going to create the value. Now we go to the Belmont and immediately the knee-jerk reaction is, and I got to tell you, it jumped in my head. I'm not knocking anyone who says this is finally caught up to this horse. That may be true, but immediately after the Belmont, as you say, the paint isn't even out of the can yet for the weather vane, and he'll never win the Belmont. Oh, he's not going to win the Belmont either. You know what? It's not that easy. It's not that easy to just say he's not going to win the Belmont, because who's going to run with him in the Belmont early? What's the pace going to be like? If he's going to be in front galloping along, yes, you have closers who can get to him. They're not going to catch him if he can gallop along unless somebody goes after him. And Windstar, China Horse Club, and that crew, they should find someone to stick in there to run, you know, to at least make a run at him. You think back to Smarty Jones and the attacks that he had to fend off. Yes, winning a Triple Crown is one of the toughest things to do in sports, all sports. Yes, this horse has done way more than any horse in our lifetimes has ever been asked to do and been able to do. He's answered the bell every time, crammed a tremendous amount in a short period of time. How is this possible? He's a great horse. That's how it's possible. Can he do it one more time? That long Belmont stretch has gobbled up. That long sandy Belmont stretch has gobbled up so many Triple Crown dreams. Can this guy do it? Yep, but don't do a knee-jerk reaction and say he can't.
Yep.
Take a look at the facts. Reevaluate the situation. Think about what the pace is going to look like. Watch him the next couple weeks. Listen to Baffert. Listen to the comments of other trainers on other trainers' comments on how Justify looks are the most valuable ones, if you can get them. Most times trainers won't talk about another man's horse. They certainly won't knock another man's horse. It's very rare to see that. But if you see trainers praising another man's horse, that's important. If they go out of their way to say, oh, my God, look at this beast. You know, even as Tom Amos was, the trainer of Lone Sailor, was tweeting a picture of the three-quarter shoe that Justify was wearing at Churchill Downs after the following the Derby. He was also very quick to note in his text, in his tweet, he looks beautiful. He looks great. So be aware of what trainers say about other trainers' horses. They're rarely knock them, but if they praise them, they usually won't say anything. But if they praise them, take that as a plus. So anyway, no knee-jerk reactions. Let's wait now. Let's see what happens. There's arguments on both sides here. It's the judge and jury have not returned on this case that he can't win the Belmont Stakes.
Well, Johnny, before we go, we also we had another. I think got a lot of good information via the wagering guide, and certainly in terms of direction and structure, driving home. I appreciate you referencing the point about encouraging people to really take a rifle approach and heavy up, and that was also echoed pretty well throughout the guide. I mean, this was, I hope, a very valuable experience for players who were, kind of feeling their way and growing as horse players.
Yeah, I think, in the original guide that was released early, everyone picked Justify. Oh, actually, Bob Newmar took a shot with Good Magic,
right,
in the early guide edition. But everyone else had Justify, starting things off usually with a win bet on Justify. The update of Jeff Siegel, Justify, Tenfold, Bravazo, and Lone Sailor in his original picks. He then moved to include Good Magic, who he didn't expect to run in his original guide. So he had the superfecta right there, in his top four horses, and of course gave you Tenfold, who was a very integral part in deducing the numbers on the payoffs. John White, $10 Jack the Part Wheel, Justify over Bravazo, Lone Sailor, Quip, and Sporting Chance. So that came in. The updates came into play this year. Dick Girardi offering a $50 Exacta, Justify over Bravazo and Tenfold. $50 Exacta, Bravazo, Justify over Bravazo and Tenfold. He gave me the try while he was at it, but he suggested a $50 Exacta. A huge payday there. And I was fortunate enough to suggest a $3 trifecta play, which cost $36 in my weekly column, and it hit the trifecta. It was Justify All, Lone Sailor, and Tenfold. So that hit. That was a $36 play. You would have had to try three times. So that was a good payoff. And then, you're kind of limited by the space. So then I also, that was a $36 play, also suggested a $60, $1 superfecta play. And that, I put the two, I put Lone Sailor, Justify on top, Lone Sailor and Tenfold in the two hole. And then I suggested All. And of course, Bravazo ended up being in the two hole. And in my personal wagering, this time I followed what I followed your advice. I followed At the Races advice, and I punched the super and had that 16 times, which I've never had a super 16 times before. And I had the trifecta five times. So, my super ticket was a little bit bigger than the one I offered up, but because of space, you can't. There's only so much you can do.
Sure.
But I put Bravazo, added Bravazo in the two hole, and that got the super home. And then I had some other ones that backed into it. But I had so many when it was done, I had 16 of them. So, it was a great, not great, it was a very solid Preakness as far as wagering went. And I was happy for that because I did okay at the Derby, but I didn't back my conviction. This time I backed my convictions. I stuck with what I thought. And if you read my horse by horse analysis, there's no way he didn't make money.
Anyway, good job, Johnny.
It was
nice.
Good.
Nice.
The guide was great. Your show again, fantastic week. Enjoyed it immensely. Congratulations, by the way, on breeding your winner. Phenomenal.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you. No, and well done. And as always, everybody contributed and gave people terrific direction. In fact, I've already, since we've been on the air, I've gotten another two or three stories, $20 tries, and our friend Bob Gross, and there's all kinds of people that are going to, I guarantee you, are going to look back at this race and make it a touchstone for their their development as a player, because when you get that breakthrough and you realize I can go one by, three by one, one by two by two, and punch it for $20, and it changes. It'll change your approach. You'll play those kinds of doubles, and same thing will happen. There were things that went on this card, including Saturday's opener. I'll give you a funny example. We were still in the hotel, and I'm sitting there. Tina's getting ready, and I see that Beaks is 8 or 9 to 1 in the first, and Hill Shadow, it seemed like Hill Shadow couldn't lose. And so I played Hill Shadow with that Flash Attack, who was sort of the next likely, and Beaks. And those are the only three, actually, I put on paper as well. The exacta in the opener with a 4 to 5 shot paid $33. It didn't seem possible. It was crazy. The triple paid 61. I was like, sorry, I didn't bet more. I was like, what? How could this be?
The more you bet,
so it just shows you. Yeah, it's like, how is this possible? But listen, how about 260 to show on Justify?
Yeah.
And 280 to place.
Yeah, somebody noted that earlier. I'm not a place and show player, but that even picked up my head.
Yeah.
The rest of the day, I do feel, I talked earlier about, I do feel sorry for selfishly too. The cards were phenomenal as they were drawn. They were phenomenal for Friday and Saturday. And the rain destroyed them, destroyed the cards, really, really hurt them. And I felt so bad for myself included, because I wanted to play those. I wanted to play into that stuff. It would have been but this is the way it is. However, I hit the pick six. I hit the pick five. I hit the pick four. And I've never done all that before. And I lost money. But I got out in the Preakness.
I love it. Well, Johnny, we'll pause out, and we'll come back next week and start to refocus, and one more leg of this, one more round of this odyssey, and it's always special, even under duress, as it was on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the build up. I'm a little bit unhappy that Justify returned to Churchill Downs, because we don't get to see wonderful video of him galloping and exercising in the morning. The best we can get are these handheld videos from a cell phone. They look like something smuggled out of North Korea. I wish we could get some better video of him, of the Derby Preakness winner heading for the Triple Crown. Maybe we'll see some better video. Anyway, That's the one thing I'm disappointed in.
Yeah, well, we'll check in. We'll check in to it. All right?
Yeah.
Johnny D, folks. And a big, nice big Preakness for Johnny, one of his favorite stops anywhere during the course of the year. And he'll be in New York as well. And we'll start to look that way. But we got more recapping to do. We've got Steve Asmussen and Graham Motion that are due in here before Bob Baffert at the bottom of hour three. They're about to get started at Timonium, and a good number of course, the participants this weekend stayed in Maryland and went to Timonium for yesterday. They had that postponed third leg of the Bree show, the under tack show that had been washed out on Thursday. So everybody headed up there yesterday and got that in, and now they've been evaluating, pulling horses out of the stalls, and we'll wish everybody, the consigners and all the breeders and owners, the best of luck. 15 minutes away. You can watch it DRF, you can watch it Bloodhorse, you can watch it PhasicTipton.com. 11 o'clock today and tomorrow. And we will talk to Nicole Russo. Nicole is stayed over and staying through Tuesday for the sale. So we'll get some recapping from Nicole. Steve Asmussen joins us next at the races. Graham Motion and Baffert as we recap Preakness weekend. Stay with us.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Phasic Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a grade one winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Phasic Tipton two-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
A little less than 10 to the top of the hour. Steve Asmussen is going to join us momentarily. And while we wait for Steve, mention a couple of non-Pimlico results. And it's hard not, frankly, to go to yesterday's nightcap at Santa Anita. And, of course, we're looking forward to the recap of the contest and Philly Joe. That was really, it's a great story, and we'll get to that. But Soy Fett yesterday in the nightcap, 47-1, the 10-year-old Leonard Powell. It's unbelievable. The Cal bred that's been around forever. Soy Fett. And it's funny, he looked beaten turning for home. And then he dug in under Q, Alfonso Canones, and wins, pays 96.80 yesterday. 10-year-old Soy Fett, his 14th career win. Steve Asmussen joins us on the heels of just an unbelievable Friday and Saturday at Pimlico. And it's funny, Steve, congratulations, obviously, first and foremost. Let's get that in.
Well, thank you.
But I'm going to start with the third place finish as opposed to all the wins, because the hidden performance of the weekend was tenfolds in the Preakness. And with a little bit of luck, it was tenfold that would have been challenging late. Justify. How did you see it?
I thought he ran a really good race. Obviously, we've been very high on Tenfold and to give him an opportunity against a horse of the quality of Justify. But I think that the secret's out. He's obviously a class horse, and we think that there's huge things in his future.
When the weekend unfolded, and obviously this was the last, you know, the last stake, obviously, of the 2 days, what was your thoughts? And I want to get to the shoe storyline with Caton Bradar, you know, noting that you had added the, you know, what qualifies as turndowns these days on your horses, and clearly it couldn't have hurt because they ran great. But what was the approach with Ricardo, and how did you want to attack the race?
I thought that the weekend suits us extremely well. The Pimlico, the Preakness weekend stakes fall into or coming out of the Racing Festival of the South from Oaklawn 5 weeks later. And of the 12 horses that we ran at Pimlico on Preakness weekend, 10 of them's last start was at Oaklawn. So the timing of it works well. Obviously, we think we have some quality horses, and we're able to showcase them in very good races.
The sprinters were tremendous, and we'll talk about Mitol, who's just obviously a freak, and at Switzerland. But one last Preakness take. The way the racing was going, did you want Ricardo to be closer, or what was the stylistic plan?
Well, with Tenfold, and we have a lot of faith in who he is. I was very concerned with how the racetrack seemed to be playing, how you had to be in the race. They weren't closing much at all, and that. But we talked about it before, and thought that he, you know, let him break and just get in his big rhythm. He's about 17 hands, a lot of leg. I thought Ricardo did a great job with him from where he was going into the first turn to the position that he worked out going into the second turn from what you could see through the fog. But I did expect him to be a little closer myself, but usually other horses' ability have something to do with where you're at in a race.
Well, and you mentioned John Service and the the presence of Diamond King, and Diamond King kind of forced you guys to lose some ground, and that, you know, I think there wasn't much you could do, but Tenfold's effort in here got to be very gratifying. What do you think going forward? Yeah, got a lot of options.
Well, I don't want to eliminate the possibility of running back in the Belmont. I mean, I think that we've got a tremendous amount of confidence in who Tenfold is. I love him from a pedigree standpoint. I think he's only getting better, and that he is, I'll say we're three-quarters of a length from where we want to be. Yeah.
Well put. And, of course, this is the first foal out of the dam, Temptress, and she won a couple of races. Did you have her?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
She was, you know, a filly that had unfortunately had a foot issue that was big and strong and gorgeous, and we were hoping that she would be this kind of mother, and expect her to be so. And you know, it's very exciting moving forward, because like you said, he is the first foal out of a Winchell Tappet mare, and what a pipeline that is.
That's for sure. Soon they'll be Gunrunner. Gunrunner.
I have a feeling we might get a little shot at a couple Gunrunners out of them Tampa Maris. It'd be very exciting, to say the least.
Well, it was an amazing weekend. Let's hit a few of the other highlights. And, in fact, go to Friday, because things started off really well. And it would talk about the performance you saw from the filly. And, you know, you obviously, with the wet weather, maybe address your thoughts on what you did with the shoes. Did everybody get reshod?
No. Kate and so sharp that anybody in New York would have. Every horse we run on the dirt runs with bands. You know, so
well. Not the, what about the
majority,
shoes?
Majority, the whole backside. So,
but the shoes.
Band, they list bands on, you know, on every race on who runs with them, and scroll it across the bottom. And we use bands, just like you guys see hind bandages on most all horses running on the dirt.
Sure.
It is to protect their heels, and a band is just a larger shoe that has a bit of a trailer that keeps the hind ankles from running down.
Well, and the first horse you sent out on Friday, Vertical Oak, and she wins the ski pat. You got a nice effort from Buy Sell Hold, hitting the board in the Miss Preakness, and Untrapped ran a kind of obscured race in the Pimlico Special.
Vertical Oak, probably of all horses, benefited from the off racetrack. If anything, if it's actual possible, I think she's faster when it's sloppy than when it's fast. But she is a very talented filly that Mr. Robeson gave a nice break to off of her three-year-old campaign, her second race of the year. She came out of it in great shape, and with her, you know, being of the quality that could win last year's Grade Two Prioress, we might have a lot of fun with her this summer in New York.
Outstanding. And of course, Buy Sell Hold, the first winner for Violence, and then the first stake winner for Violence, and you kind of rebooting her season a little bit, and
yeah,
you had to be encouraged.
I definitely made a mistake with her last year out of Green. She broke her maiden fast at Keeneland, and I ran her back in the Derby Week 2-year-old stake at Churchill and kind of knocked her out. And then same thing, owned by Kirk and Judy Robeson, gave her a nice long break. She had one race back at Oaklawn and had a little bit of a difficult trip in the Miss Preakness. She's not a big filly. Kind of got squeezed out the back away from the gates and then closed well in the middle of the racetrack and made a pretty good account of herself.
How do you see the late spring and summer? I'm going
to consider running her back in the Jersey Girl in the Sunday after the Belmont.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, Todd usually, you know, that was his first steak winner, Jersey Girl. So he's always got something in there. He's always looking.
Yeah, first grade one steaks winner. His first grade one steaks winner was owned by the Ackerley, Bob and Lee Ackerley. And my first graded steaks winner was owned by Bob and Lee Ackerley. So
is that right?
That would be, yes, yes. Two people that have as much to do as any owner is about where the position that I'm in, and also know that Todd's first grade one winner, Jersey Girl, was owned by them as well.
That's a that is a tremendous trivia question. I love that.
Yeah, valid
very
expectations
cool.
was my
sure. We just talked
won
to the
Derby
just
trial was my first graded stakes win.
I love it. Okay. Untrapped on Friday too. That you got to be happy with his effort.
Tough horse. You know, it needs to be his turn one of these days, just like last year's Oklahoma Derby. But I think that he's one of the more higher-earning two-other-thans in the country. I think he's at about 850, 860, and he's still eligible for a two-other-than. But he shows up, and he's such a beautiful horse, trains great. He did go back to Churchill. We will consider running him in the Foster.
Oh, nice. Very nice. I was gonna ask if the Brooklyn might be something for him, but excellent. Talk about Saturday, and Mitol is just ridiculous, and there had been concern or speculation that he might not run on the wet track, but obviously, you know, that loss was an aberration. He was tremendous in the Chick Lang.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to come up with an adjective to describe something that runs like he does so fast, so easy. I don't know. Like I said, he's a freak. He is just gifted. Horse is truly gifted. And got an unbelievable demeanor. You know, another Mr. and Mrs. Heidelbro, they've come up with some of the fastest horses in the world. I mean, they just do. And he definitely can find a fast one.
Well, another horse that you mentioned, the Highland Brats and the familiar White Jacket and the Red Star. And they're White Jackets with stars were easy to keep.
I don't mean to correct you, but that is definitely a University of Texas burnt orange star.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair.
Mr. Heidelberg, being the UT graduate that he is, would like me to point that out.
All right. I'll give a hook 'em horns then.
And, there you go.
Yeah, what was the whole speculation about the wet track and what was the, you know, the any wavering at all?
How'd I get him beat? That's what you're asking?
Okay, how'd you get him beat?
I'm on that too. How in the world did I get him beat? I do not know. You know, it just, that's one of them undescribable events. I just, because it obviously, you know, he handled the off going,
yeah,
on Saturday beautifully.
How hardy a horse, Steve? You know, in terms of the 3-year-old stakes, like the Woody Stevens, and obviously you'll look to the Alan Jerkins Midsummer. And how about 7/8 with him? Is that, when will you test him at 7/8?
Most likely in 3 weeks. You
know. Okay, so Woody's a go.
Well, he went back to Churchill. Just, it's his home base. It's where we know him from. Want everything to be the same,
sure.
Be consistent, measured, same with Tenfold. Even if they do go on to Belmont, I just wanted to be measuring it against something I'm familiar with.
But the Woody Stevens and that down that path. Excellent. And Switzerland, who rated really comfortably.
You know, the horse... fortunate to have a horse as fast as him shift into our barn, had some conditions. I think he had a couple races go his way, and it's got his confidence level where it needs to be. And I thought his best race for me to date was obviously Saturday. He did go back to Churchill, and we will, you know, the True North for him might be a little quick, you know, very heavy-bodied horse. Plenty of running in the last 6 weeks, so... probably regroup and find the next spot after that.
Excellent. Well, you also, of course, win the off the turf Murphy with Tap Daddy, and nice to have him be interchangeable to be able to stay in a race under those conditions.
Right. You know, he is the Winchell pipeline, you know, just handy ride out of a nice Tappet mare that versatile, any surface, you know, he snow, rain, fast, glass, whatever, he'll play, you know, and he's just a wonderful mental and nice, talented horse.
You also, people may not have noticed this, but you got Ropera's Brooks House graded black type with that third place finish in the Gallarette.
Right. Nice filly that was bought on Jerry Brown's recommendation that first came into the barn, probably took a little dip, did a little too much with her. I think we've gotten in sync with her pretty good and have had three solid runs in a row from her. Pleased with how she continued to come on, especially in the very trying circumstances of the course. Came out of it in good shape, and she did go back to New York.
Excellent. Well, Steve, overall, a pretty darn satisfying weekend for the second year in a row.
You know, very proud of the whole barn. You know, the Scott and the staff, they just do such a wonderful job dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and just had everybody in a position to do their best, and that's all we can ask from them.
Very much, and I'm going to ask about one other horse away from Pimlico, because Sir Troubadour, the other day at Churchill, breaks the maiden, the two-year-old, in the slop as well. What kind of horse? This is a more than ready that looked okay.
He is Regally Ready's full brother, and so
okay.
He's only he's about $1.8 million behind him and 19 wins to go to equal his brother. But we are very excited to have him, and you know, as good as Regally Ready was to us, we're hoping for more from Sir Troubadour, and there's a strong possibility of him showing up in the Tremont.
Excellent. And so in terms of surface, you keep him dirting for a good while?
Until they ride a turf race.
Perfect. Well, Steve, you another trainer bonus win 2 years in a row, and now we know the secret. It's the horses that are spinning out of the Oaklawn lead up, and a lot of other good things happening everywhere. You also won the Texas Stake at Lone Star. One of the did you win? Was that the Got Coco or the other one?
No, we won the boy division of the Texas Stallion Stakes for Mr. Farish with a homebred, which is very great to see. You know, Danny Shiflett, his place in Wasatch, bred that horse, and dad had him as a young horse and stuff, and Drek Dalkin continues to put smiles on people's face.
Yeah, I brought him up with you once before, and this is a nice
horse.
He
actually was second in last year's Tremont.
Right. We talked about him. Nice. Well, Steve, we'll see you in New York. Get them all freshened up, and well done.
Thank you very much.
Always fun to check in, and a lot, obviously. And that is you just heard the secret, really, to the Pimlico plan. And the 5 weeks from the end of the Oaklawn season, and coming right back here and attacking this set of stakes. And the wet conditions didn't hurt. Well, it certainly didn't hurt Irish War Cry. And didn't hurt the soft turf, didn't hurt Ultra Brat. Graham Motion, the other big success from the weekend at Churchill, along with Bob Baffert, all the multiple stake winners from the weekend joining us. And when we come back, Graham Motion to talk about getting Irish War Cry back in the winner's circle. His first win is an older horse, and he wins the historic Pimlico Special. We'll find out what's next, and we'll find out about Graham's breakfast's predilection. He absolutely offended a big portion of the internet a few weeks ago when he voiced a preference for Cracker Barrel over Waffle House. And your first instinct is to think, who's taking advice from an Englishman about food? Notoriously terrible food people and as a culture. But I you know, as a avowed Waffle House fan, I took particular offense to Graham's stance here. I'm in full agreement with Graham's other stances. If you follow us on that front. Graham Motion next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by 5.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.